Well, hello everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon. We are so glad to have you today. And what do you do, how do you explain people who are going through the roughest of times, they've got the roughest of circumstances, they've had tragedy, they've had disappointment, they've had failure, and yet there's still this joy that radiates from their life, even in the midst of their horrible circumstances. How do we explain that? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. Joy versus happiness, because that's what Jesus talks about in John chapter 16, where we are moving through the gospel of John, the four chapters, 14, 15, 16, and 17, between the Last Supper and the Garden of Gethsemane. So, once we catch up to the other Gospels, we already are there in the Garden of Gethsemane, we'll merge all four and we'll move forward, and that'll happen in just a few weeks. Okay, we're getting ready to dig in. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, speak to us today from your word. Speak to us personally and powerfully from your word. And help us, Lord Jesus, I pray, to really understand how we can have biblical joy even when we don't have circumstances around us that produce human happiness. That's what we're going to talk about today. So, Lord, may the Holy Spirit open our hearts and our minds, and may He minister the Word to our hearts. Anoint me as I teach, please. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Okay. Now, back to what we were talking about. Joy versus happiness. Let's read and see what Jesus says. New King James Version of the Bible, and we're in John chapter 16. We left off last time, verse 15. So let's pick up at verse 16. Jesus speaking, a little while speaking to the disciples, and you will see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father. What's he talking about? Going to see him now until the crucifixion? Then he's going to be buried. You won't see him. Then you're going to see me again when he rises from the dead. And in between, he's going to the Father. Is that what he's referring to? Or maybe after the resurrection, he's going to the Father. I'm not quite sure. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, what is this that he's saying to us? A little while, you will not see me. And then a little while, and you will see me. And because I go to the Father, they said, therefore, what is this that he says a little while? We don't know what he's saying. And Jesus knew what they desired to ask him. And he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while and you will not see me, and then again a little while and you will see me. Truly, I say to you, that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. When will the world be excited? Well, when he's dead and buried in the grave. And when will the disciples weep and lament? When he's dead and buried in the grave. But when will the disciples' lamenting be turned into joy? When he rises from the dead. Yes, okay. So, verse 21. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come, but as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish, for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. Second mention of joy. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you and your heart will rejoice. Third mention of joy. And your joy, no one will take from you. fourth mention of joy. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Truly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy, fifth time, may be full. Okay, here we go. Five times in that little passage, Jesus talks about the joy that these disciples are going to have. And I love at the end when he says that your joy, verse 24, that your joy may be full. Wow, how sweet is that? Now, the Bible talks a lot about joy. Doesn't talk too much about happiness, but talks a lot about joy. And listen, for example, here's Isaiah chapter 12. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Therefore, you will draw water with joy from the springs of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the people, make them remember that his name is exalted, praise the Lord in song, for he has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. You will draw water with joy. That's what the verse says. You will draw water with joy from the springs of salvation. Verse 3. So joy, here we read, comes from salvation. And in Psalm 51, when David was confessing his sin with Bathsheba to the Lord, after confessing it and humbling himself and calling upon God for mercy and forgiveness, look what he says, Psalm 51, verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Watch, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take the Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Again, joy connected to salvation. Do you see that? And then, of course, we have the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. And look what it says here, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is love. And the next one, what is it? Joy. That's right. Again, joy being connected with the Holy Spirit being part of our life. He brings and produces in us joy. Now, what exactly is biblical joy versus human happiness? Okay, very simple. Happiness is based on our circumstances. Joy is based on God's promises that he makes to us. Joy is based on the truths of God's word. Happiness is based on our surroundings. Joy is supernatural. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life. It is supernatural, biblical joy, where happiness is merely earthly. And finally, it is possible to have biblical joy in the midst of suffering, hardship, trials, and pain. It's not possible to have human happiness when you're in those circumstances, but it is possible to have supernatural, God-given joy. Watch. Look at this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. And Paul writing says, "And you Thessalonians, became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, but look, with joy of the Holy Spirit." So here we've got people in affliction, but they've got the joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. I'm going to explain in a moment how that can be. But here we have it. They were being persecuted, you read the book of Acts, by the Jewish people that lived in Thessalonica. Very deeply persecuted. Those folks even followed Paul to his next city, Berea, and drove him out of that city. There was much suffering that the believers in Thessalonica went through, but they still had joy. And look, Paul's writing to the Corinthians, and he's talking about the believers in Philippi. And look what he says about these believers. He says, verse 2, 2 Corinthians 8, "In a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy abounded to the riches of their liberality." They had made a very liberal gift to the saints in Jerusalem that Paul was going to take there, to the poor saints there. But Paul said they made that gift out of the joy, look at this, the joy of the Holy Spirit, in spite of their deep affliction. Can you have affliction and joy? Yes. Can you have tribulation and joy? Yes. Can you have troubles and joy? Yes. Because joy is supernatural. Joy comes from the Holy Spirit. Biblical joy has nothing to do with our human circumstances. And it is not a human-based quantity or quality. It is supernatural from God. Okay, that's what we've learned so far. Right? 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 Right. So, let's summarize. Joy, supernatural. Happiness, human. Joy comes from the Holy Spirit. Happiness comes from our circumstances. Joy is a byproduct of our salvation. Happiness is not. Okay, you got it? Got it? Okay. Now, let's stop here and ask our most important question. Are you ready? Come on now, here we go. 1, 2, 3. So what? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we can have joy from the Holy Spirit as one of the fruits of the Spirit, even in our tough times, you know, that God has made provision for that. What do we say about having joy that God gives us, even in our toughest times? We say with Jackie Gleason, how sweet it is. How sweet it is. Right. Now, let's talk about that joy. What is it based on? How do we get it? Well, like I said, it comes from the Holy Spirit. It's not human generated. However, in order to have it, there are a couple of prerequisites that are necessary. We get it from keeping our eyes on the Lord and His promises to us in the Bible. See, peace, joy is peace or confidence or assurance that we get from knowing that God is going to keep His promises to us. Let's put that on the screen. Joy is the peace or the confidence or the assurance that we as believers get from knowing that God will keep His promises to us. You got it? What that means is, no matter how bad our circumstances are, if our eyes are on the promises of God and we are believing the promises of God, no matter how unlikely it looks in our given circumstances, that's when God is able to produce this joy in us, that peace, that confidence, that assurance. And so this is how people going through the worst of circumstances can still say, well, this is not good, but God said he would never give me anything, 1 Corinthians 10:13, to go through that I was not able to bear up under it. God said, Romans 8:28, that he was going to work all things together for good to those who love God. God said, Isaiah 61, that he was going to turn our ashes into beauty. And God said, Lamentations chapter 3, that God's mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And on and on and on. And that's how we get biblical joy, by believing the promises of God, even in the midst of the worst suffering and circumstances. Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch young woman whose father hid Jewish people from the Nazis in Holland during the beginning of World War II. He was caught. He and all of his family were put into concentration camps, and Corrie was the only one who survived. Her sister was killed, her mother, her father. I believe she had a brother, but she survived. And how did she keep her joy through all of this? She kept her eyes on the promises of God. Get her book, Hiding Place, The Hiding Place, and read it, and you'll see. And that's how saints down through the ages have kept the joy of God in their life. Even when their circumstances were awful, they had their eyes not on their circumstances, but on the promises of Almighty God here in the Bible, and they decided they were going to trust God and not doubt him, no matter how bad things looked. Esther, Haman, had everything worked out. He even had the gallows already built to hang Mordecai, her uncle, from. But she had her eyes on the promises of God, and God turned the situation on its ear just like that, and they hung Haman from the gallows he had prepared for Mordecai. And God loves to do that kind of stuff, just to show his power. Friends, if you're in a tough spot right now, and you're going through tough situations, let me say to you, God has given us tons of promises here in his word, and our job is to know them and believe them. Not to figure out how he's going to do it, because you won't be able to do that. Not to see how he's going to bring it all to pass, because you won't be able to see that. But to believe by faith that God cannot lie, Paul says in Titus chapter 1. He cannot lie, because he's God. He must fulfill his promises to you, because he's God, and he will. And that's how we have joy in the middle of our circumstances. How do we lose our joy in the middle of our circumstances? Well, there's two ways we can lose it. One is take our eyes off the promises of God and put them on our circumstances. That will cause the joy of the Holy Spirit to shrivel up in your life and in my life. How do we restore our joy? Take our eyes off our circumstances, go back and remind ourselves of the promises of God and believe them regardless of our circumstances. That's the first thing. The second and final thing that kills the joy of God in our life is sin. Just that simple. Remember what David said, Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Forgive me for this terrible thing I did with Bathsheba and her husband Uriah, and restore to me the joy of my salvation." He had lost, David had, the joy of his salvation. Why? Because of his sin. And now that he's repenting, he's asking God, "Lord, please now, as part of forgiving and restoring me, restore to me the joy of my salvation." We cannot have joy if we're clogged up, our pipes are all clogged up with sin. Remember, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is joy. But if the Holy Spirit has been quenched, if the Holy Spirit has been grieved in our life, the New Testament says, so that he can't flow because sin is clogging up the pipes, then the joy that he imparts to us supernaturally gets clogged up too. So, keeping sin confessed on a daily, momentary basis keeps our joy coming. Because it's supernatural joy. Remember, this is not a natural thing. People will often wonder, how can you seem so peaceful when everything's fallen apart around us here? We're here at the hospital. We're in the emergency room. Things are not looking good. We're here. This is happening. That's happening. Whatever. I know the promises of God, and I know God's going to keep them. It doesn't matter what it looks like right now. And to the best of my knowledge, I don't have unconfessed sin in my life. My pipes are open for the Holy Spirit to generate. He generates joy supernaturally. Okay, you with me? Two things that'll take it away. Our joy, taking our eyes off the promises of God and putting them on our circumstances, unconfessed sin, clogging the pipes up for the Holy Spirit to flow in our life. You got it? Okay. Now, final comment. This supernatural joy that Jesus comments about, do this so your joy, he wants your joy to be full. He said, this joy is only for believers. Unbelievers cannot have this supernatural, Holy Spirit-produced joy until they come to Christ. Why? Because it comes as part of salvation. It's the joy of our salvation. In salvation, I will call out with joy. Isaiah chapter 12, it is part and parcel of our salvation. Without our salvation, we don't have the Holy Spirit living in our life. And therefore, we don't have the generated fruit of the Holy Spirit, one of them being joy, in our life. David didn't say, restore to me the joy of being a human being. Psalm 51, or the joy of being the king of Israel, or the joy of being the guy who killed Goliath. No, it's the joy of my salvation. So only believers in Christ can have this. And that's one of the great advantages of being a follower of Christ, is we can have joy even in trouble. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Keeping our eyes on God's promises. Remember, I've told you before, when Brenda and I were going through our worst time with my daughter Jill, and many times since then, we've said to one another, we only have two choices every day. We can trust God. We can doubt God. That's it. Nothing else. And we've seen God do too much to doubt him. We're going to trust him. And when you trust him, even though you can't see how there's any way in the world he could turn these ashes into beauty, he could turn this into good. But when you trust him to do it, he gives you a supernatural joy that is obvious to everybody around. And the other thing, keep our life clean of unconfessed sin. I hope you'll do this so that your joy, as Jesus said, may be full. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for teaching us today about supernatural joy. And Lord, I pray that we as believers would not seek human happiness, for it is fleeting and it is fickle, but rather that we might seek the supernatural joy that you impart to believers who trust you, who keep their lives clean of unconfessed sin. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. And may we seek that for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for being with us today. May your joy be full this week. God bless you. And we'll see you next week, Lord willing, on Live with Lon. Bye now.